have a lot to share with you today, and I'm super excited to just get into it. It's not very often that I will have props, but today there are just some things that I want to share with you that I just can't express or share with you any other way than through visual aids. So it's pretty fun today. Anyway, today, as we get into it, last week we started this series about positivity. And we started talking about that we have just kind of been in this funk in the last year, this negative place, this yuck that we just have found ourselves in over and over and over again, this spiral of depression, that we're just in this season now where it's time to break free of this, it's time to get out of it. We reflected on just the verse in Romans 8 where it talks about God works all things out for the good. You know, we're talking about that, and we're looking at those things and how we can move forward in positivity. And I want to continue that conversation today and start with this thought that I don't know if you've kind of found yourself in this place, but I have caught myself complaining about so many things in my life. Maybe you found yourself in this. You can't help but complain. It's like there's almost this pandemic of complaining that's been going on since the pandemic of COVID. You know what I'm talking about? It's like you start talking about it and it's like, well, I'm complaining about the masks that I have to wear, and I'm complaining about now I'm needing to brush my teeth more because I'm actually breathing on other people rather than just breathing in myself. So now I got to do that more. I'm complaining about the weather because the weather is so nice, but now it's so hot, but then it was so cold. But I'm complaining about how I've been home all the time, and I want to get back out, and I want to get to my office, and now that I'm in my office, I want to get back home. I'm just complaining about so many different things all the time, and it's just beginning this spiral. Maybe it's, you know, for some of you too, it's just you can't help but just complain about anything and everything, and we need to flatten this curve of complaining. There is a cure for this pandemic. I'm very excited to share about that today. The cure is gratitude. All right? And to kind of illustrate this, Proverbs 15:13 says, "A glad heart makes a cheerful face, but by sorrow of heart the spirit is crushed." And I want to just look at that point really quick of a glad heart makes a cheerful face. If the heart is in a good place, folks, you don't need Botox to make yourself look pretty. You just smile. There's this place. It's just this overwhelming sense that when from that good place, that glad place, that positive space in your heart, when that starts to bubble up and boil out, all of a sudden it's just something happens here that just starts to curl up. And it's a beautiful thing as we begin to transform our lives and make a cheerful face. There's an article from positivepsychology.com that tells of the benefits of gratitude. Hear this. This is amazing stuff. Gratitude eliminates toxic emotions. Gratitude reduces pain. It improves sleep quality. Who here has struggled with their sleep? Yeah, I'm serious. This is crazy. Gratitude aids in stress regulation. And gratitude reduces anxiety and depression. Some of you are going, I want this pill. Can I have this, please? The beautiful thing about gratitude is that there are no negative side effects. Hallelujah. This is a beautiful thing, right? It really is a miracle pill, this idea of gratitude. So in what ways do you need gratitude in your life? Maybe it's because you found yourself being too critical. Maybe you are having a lot of anxiety, or you're finding yourselves, as I shared last week, just exploding on random individuals at grocery stores who steal your shopping carts. I mean, who knows how you are exploding or expressing yourself in this place, but we all need to have this new sense of gratitude hit our lives, and we need to flatten that curve in the pandemic of our complainingness, right? We need to flatten that curve. So, let me pray, and let's get started. God, thank you. Thank you for moving in our lives in such a way that we can begin to reflect on a heart change, where it can bring about joy in our lives, to the point to actually putting smiles back on our faces. Lord, would you speak to our hearts today? And Lord, I pray for a transformation in this place, Holy Spirit, that you would just open up your word and allow us to see and hear and understand what you are saying through the scripture today. We love you, God, and we lift this up to you in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to just have you remember this phrase today, okay? Gratitude is the gateway to peace. Gratitude is the gateway to peace. I want you to remember this today as we walk through this conversation about being thankful, having an attitude of gratitude, changing your mindset in this way. Gratitude is the gateway to peace. And I don't know about you, but I could surely use a little bit more peace in my life. When I was saying, you know, raising your hands, who here has been losing sleep? It is crazy to me to think that, you know, it'll be easy for me to go to sleep at night, but then at about 2 o'clock in the morning, my mind turns back on and I just wake up and I start to think about all the things. You know what I'm talking about? All the things. And we all have those all the things that we're just moving through our mind. And peace is something that is so cherished and is something that, I think we all want to, grab and move towards. So I want to just encourage us today to, hear and know that there is a way that we can find this amazing peace in our lives. So how do you get gratitude? I was talking with a friend of mine who in months past has just walked through some serious depression in his life. I mean, he was one of these guys that you'd ask him how he's doing and he would always find something negative to say. You know, it's like, hey, man, how's your day? Ah, man, my bike broke down. Oh, that's a bummer. Well, yeah, I fixed it, but, you know, then that cost me $80 I didn't have. You're like, oh, man, that's really too bad. And yeah, and you know, then I went into debt. I mean, he just starts going on and on about all these things. It's like, hey, what do you think of the weather? Yeah, it was sunny this morning, but then clouds came in this afternoon, so it's just lame, you know. That was when I was going to ride, you know, and you're just like, come on. So he had kind of been spiraling in this place of going darker and darker, and so I just had seen this in his life, and then all of a sudden, things began to change, where he started to talk about good things. And, you know, I'd say, hey, how's the weather? You know, and he'd be like, you know, it was sunny, but man, it got clouded this afternoon. It cooled down so nice. And I'm going, are you the same guy? What's the deal here? So I was in the midst of the COVID stuff that was going on. I had found myself kind of starting to spiral and going down that dark path. And I approached my friend. I said, hey, what did you do? You all of a sudden are like sunshine and lollipops all of a sudden when you were all about the dirt before. I mean, what's going on here? How did you change your attitude? And he goes, here's the thing, Mark. My doctor had talked to me about this, and through the process, I started writing down a gratitude journal. And he started to just write down everything that he was thankful for, everything that he was grateful for. And he started to just do this. And at first it was, you know, pretty simple, basic stuff. You know, I'm thankful for the trees. I'm thankful for the clouds in the afternoon, you know. Whatever those things are, he would write about these things in his gratitude journal. And over time, what he began to see was this mindset shifting over these things that he was finding so negative, he was now seeing them as positive parts of life. He was writing in his gratitude journal. Now, through this, I want to just look at some scripture that Paul is sharing and just kind of have this mindset of a gratitude journal. And if you haven't ever done this, I want to encourage you, maybe it's time that you would start to write down the things that you're thankful for. You can buy yourself a journal or take notes in your phone, or just even process in the morning as you just meditate on scripture, these things, you can just begin to think about what you are grateful for. But I look at parts of Paul's letters to all these different people as we read through scripture, and I see that in moments there are these places where he is actually beginning to do gratitude journal writing. as he is encouraging and sharing. These are the things that he's been processing. And I want to look at some scripture today that kind of goes into this. And before we get into Philippians 4:4-8 today, if you have your Bibles, that's where we're going to be in. We're just going to land in that scripture. You can put your finger, Philippians 4:4-8. But I want to just give you a little bit of context as to what we're talking about today, or where Paul's at. Because remember, last week I shared with you that as we look through scripture, as we meditate on these things, we should know and just absorb and learn some of these things from the scripture so we can have a broader idea of what the scripture is talking about. And so in that, understand that in this letter to Philippi that Paul's writing, Paul is in jail. He is not in a good place. Jails in this time are not like the jails that we have today in America. Jails in this time were typically either under the fort, under the castle. They were below ground. They were dirty places, dank places. They were in the sewer. There was just not any good places to find in the jails. And here is Paul writing these words from jail. Just wanted to give you that context so that you can hear and be even more blown away by what he's about to say here. In verse 4, he starts out by saying this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice." Now, when you read in Scripture and somebody is saying things twice, that means to take note. Pay attention. Jesus would say, truly, truly. So it's like, hear this. Hear this. Paul's saying, rejoice. Oh, it's so important. Rejoice. Get into this. Know what this is. And hear this today. The Greek word in this rejoice word is kareo, to be glad. It is something that we are to read and go, okay, we know that this is a joyous thing that Paul's talking about, but it's quickly and very closely related to another word, charis or charis, which talks about and is meaning the grace of God. And so when Paul is talking about this rejoicing, it's not just about this being glad, it's about being glad in the fact that you have been given the grace of God, this unmerited, undeserved favor. That's what grace is. Grace is being given a gift that you don't deserve. And so when Paul is talking about this rejoicing, he's going beyond this idea of just, hey, gray skies are going to clear up, put on a happy face. He's not going to be saying that. He's talking more about this joy that goes beyond his circumstances, all right? And so Paul's mindset was not based on his circumstances. It was based on something far, far greater. And it goes on to say that let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is in the midst of this. God is with us. He's not distant. He's not away. He's not far off looking at this whole thing, laughing at you that you're in jail or laughing at you that you're in the struggle. He is in the midst of what's going on. He is at hand. So do not be anxious about anything. This word anxious in the Greek talks about to be troubled with cares. Even more so, it's to be pulled in parts. Does that sound familiar when you're anxious about things? You're just, life is in so many different separate categories and it's hard to keep things all under control. It's opposed to the whole and it's to go to pieces. But so Paul is saying, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. This thanksgiving, eucharista, it's being thankful for God's grace, because look in the middle of this word, it is spelled E-U-C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A, and in the middle of this is the word charis, God's grace, God's grace. So Paul is talking about this idea of saying, hey, listen, I'm in prison here. I get it. Things are tough. Things are hard. I'm locked up. But you know what? My circumstances don't dictate my ability to rejoice and to be thankful. What a beautiful thought. that in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the literal pit that he is in, he is going, hey, let me just share this with you guys. Rejoice. Let me say it again. Rejoice in the Lord always. And let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. So don't be anxious. Don't be pulled apart by all of these things. But in everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your requests to the Lord. Lay them down at his feet. And it goes on, and I love this. In verse 7, it says, and the peace of God, and the peace of God. This word peace. We're getting into some serious study here. Some word studies, all right? So here we go. This word is the exact opposite of the word for anxious. So instead of this place of being separated and spaced out and pulled apart and all of these different things, what Paul is saying in verse 7 is he goes, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, this wholeness, this coming together, this bringing together of all of the space, all of the chaos, all of the anxiousness, all of it is going to be come together and held together in whole peace, quietness, because of God's gift of wholeness surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. I want to share this visually with you guys today. Here we go. All right. So this is our life. This is our life. Don't worry, I'm not going to break it. And this is all the stuff that we deal with in our lives. Now you're going, oh man, Mark. Okay, these are the different things. You know, this is the your job. This is your kids. I mean, this is the different things that you have going on. This is the different activities that you may have. Your kids' activities. This might be the pain that you feel or the hurt that you're in. You know, some of you guys are dealing with. I mean, we all have debt that we deal with and different things. Some of us have more than others, and so we're just dealing with all these things. And the more stuff that we have, it just begins to pile up more and more and more, all these different things that we have in life, and it kind of tends to get a little overwhelming as we begin to see all of this stuff consume our lives. It's no wonder that we are having a hard time sleeping. I think I got them all on here. So we got to focus on all of these little things that are going on in our lives. And so it's hard because we know we've got to move. We know we've got to move forward with our lives. But because of all of these things, so often we are distracted. We are held captive by all of these things because we have to make sure that they stay together on the plate. We begin to move too fast, too rash. If we begin to think or want to try to add more things on, you know, eventually we might even trip and fall and... oh no. Somebody's going to have to clean that up. And now we're looking at our life and we're going, if I'd only stayed over there, maybe I would have been okay. If I would have maybe not moved so much, maybe I would have been safe. If I wouldn't have taken that extra mortgage, maybe I wouldn't have had too many things on my plate to juggle with. Whatever it is, we get to this point of chaos, and then, yeah, we start losing it and yelling at people for no reason. However, and this is why it's so cool, in verse 7, and the peace of God. Here's the peace. Here's the peace. And this peace that is of the Lord surpasses all understanding. Now watch this. In my life, because I have the peace of God, where are my eyes focused? They're focused out. As I navigate through life with the peace of God and it's surpassing all understanding, I might trip, but I didn't lose it. I didn't lose the peace. I'm still holding on to that peace. It is still in front of me, and that peace of the Lord will guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. So when I do stumble and fall, I've got the peace of the Lord in front of me. And I am holding on. I am holding on to that peace. Notice, I wasn't holding on to anything when I had just my life. All of that stuff, I wasn't able to hold it. It's too many, too much. But the peace. Woo! This is good. This is good. Now, understand this. You can't get to verse 7 unless you go through verse 6. You can't get to verse 7 unless you get through verse 6. That's why it's first, right? That's why we've got to rejoice in the Lord always. And we can't be anxious, but with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, we present our requests to God. Now, I don't know if you've seen this this bumper sticker, but have you ever seen the thing that says, no Jesus, and it has an equal sign, no peace, and it's the word N-O, no Jesus, no peace. But then you have on the other side, it says K-N-O-W, no Jesus, no peace. I'll tell you, this is a cheesy bumper sticker for sure. And when you read it, you're like, yeah, I get it. Okay, ha-ha, very funny. You know, you wordsmithers. It's really good. But cheesy? Sure. True? Absolutely. Thank you, Lord, that when we know Jesus, we know peace. And the beautiful thing about this peace and about Jesus is that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So when we go to know Jesus, we are knowing the one who is peace. How amazing and beautiful is that? We can be grateful for what he has done for us in our lives because of Jesus pouring into us. As we reflect on him, we are reflecting on the Prince of Peace. So how do I get this peace from Jesus? Well, it goes back to gratitude. It is the gateway to peace. So where does gratitude come from? It comes from an understanding of something that you've received that you didn't deserve. Hear this. Gratitude comes from an understanding of something that you received that you didn't deserve. Many of us will be given gifts and think that we're entitled to them. And when we are given these things with the heart of entitlement, are we truly thankful and grateful for these? Or do we take them for granted? The beautiful thing with grace is that we recognize with a humble heart that we've been given some amazing things, and the ultimate gift that we have been given is a reconciled relationship with God the Father. That through Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross, this gift of life was given to us, but so often we look at this and go, yeah, we deserve this. Truthfully, I'm going to get a little preachy here for a second, but we deserve not life, but because of sin and this stuff, we deserve death. And we deserve the separation from God, but it is through Jesus and his grace, his gift offered that we don't deserve, that we now have a second chance to receive new life. We have an opportunity now to be with the Father forever and ever and ever. And this is a beautiful thing. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. So, with all of that, hear what Paul says in verse 8. As he kind of closes this up, he says, finally. So you know that he's closing things up when he says finally, right? Finally, brothers. And I would say, sisters, in this, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Put your mind to ease. Focus on these things rather than on the negative. Why? Because what we think about begins to transform our heart. When we are pouring into the positive, we will begin to think more on the positive. Like those gratitude journals, when we write down the things that are good and worthy and notable and honorable and amazing, when we are focused on those things, rather than on the dark things, when we are changing our mindset, where do you think our hearts will go? Yes, it is the overflow. When our hearts are in the right place, where do you think our overflow is going to go? To the positive, to the positive. Today, I want to bring the worship team up while I'm doing this one. Today, you might be in a place where the negativity is overwhelming. And I want to just show you this for just a final encouragement today. It might be that because of the circumstances that you find yourself in, your finances have just really found a hardship. You know, your 401k, thank you for all this stuff. Your 401k goes to a 201k because of the recession, right? The job, maybe you own a business, and that business is needing more employees, but those employees you're not finding because they're finding it easier to stay home and not work, and this thing is just beginning to be more of a struggle. And so you're trying to hire more people, but in order to hire more people, you got to pay them more money, and to pay them more money, then you got to increase your prices. And so this whole thing is going crazy, and so you're losing your mind trying to keep afloat. Maybe your kids are stressing you out. Maybe the choices that they're making in life are just hurting you so deeply. Maybe you have family members, loved ones that are sick or aging, and you're taking care of them, and the stress of just that alone has just overwhelmed you to the point to where you have lost sight of the good. Maybe your heart is breaking because your health is just deteriorating, your personal health. Maybe it's flying spiders. I don't know if they exist or not, but that would just freak me out. But whatever it is that you're focused on that could be tearing you away and pulling you away, it is consuming. And I understand that. It can wreck you. It can change the lens in which you see things in your life through. But then, may we fix our minds on what is good, what is right and pure and noble. And we get to this place where we just begin to allow ourselves to focus on these things. And it may come to like Wednesday. Because all for Monday and Tuesday, and even this afternoon, you bought a journal at Walmart. You know, you set up that new note. You're like, I'm going to start doing gratitude stuff. And you're in this place where you're like, man, I've been doing it since Sunday afternoon, and I don't see much changing in my life. Let me tell you, my buddy that did the gratitude journal, I'm talking months of transformation. You got to get in the grind of this. It's in the place of picking your cross up daily and following the Lord and focusing on what is noble and what is right and what is true and focusing on the Lord and allowing that peace that surpasses all understanding to fill your heart. And as it gets deeper and deeper, and as you pour more and more of the Lord into your life, that transformation takes place over and over and over again until, as it is being poured out in you, you are noticing the change and the transformation that is taking place. And look, you're clear. You're free. May you today experience a peace from the Lord. Gratitude is the gateway to peace. So may you today begin this journey of gratitude in your life and watch and see how much rejoicing you can do in your life. Again, I will say, rejoice. Will you stand with me and let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this journey that you are taking us on with positivity. For all the things that we have to make excuses about in our life. For all of the real things that can bring us down. All of the pain, all of the suffering, all of the hurt, all of it. God, it is real. And we don't negate those facts. They're real. But you have come, Lord, to set the captive free. You have come to transform that mindset to focus on those things and know that we can come to you. You say, Jesus, that we are to come to you, for your yoke is easy and your burden is light. So may it be that these things that would bring us to a place of complaining, instead, Lord, may we present them to you. As we are anxious, may we present that to you. As we are frustrated and angry, may we lay these things down at your feet so that you can bring a peace that surpasses all understanding. We love you, Lord, and praise you in your name. Amen.